All right, so we are holding on Ches Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the bottom, by the two dots, lined against TBC. Last wooden line. Mishnah said, we had three opinions in the Mishnah about till when you can say Kriyishma at night. We had an opinion in the Mishnah, which the Gemara eventually explained, was either a different. We had previously Rabbi Eliezer said that. We had Ad Sof Hashmorah Hodeshen and Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. We discussed whether the beginning part, whether Mishal Shakan and Kassim Rachel B'Shumasan is a coin to Rabbi Eliezer or a coin to some other Tana, but Ad Sof Hashmorah Hodeshen. No, we had Rabbi Eliezer's opinion until the end of the first watch of the night. But then we had the Chachamim say Tzol Chafos, and Rabbi Gamliel says, until Alois HaShachai. So let's discuss that. First of all, Amr Bihuda Amr Shema Halacha Kerem Gamliel, the Halacha is like Kerem Gamliel, that you can say till Alois HaShachai, with caveats that we're going to see. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Yechoyer, sometimes it can happen then that a person says Shema twice in one night, Achas Kodim Shiyala Omer HaShachar V'Achas La'ala Shiyala Omer HaShachar, one before Alois HaShachar, one after, V'Yotzeh, and Yudei Chizasa, Achas Shoyev V'Achas Shalayla, and with that he's Yotzeh, the two Kriyishmas of the morning and the evening. In other words, that since we're saying that Halacha is like Yom Gamliel, then the result, therefore you can say it to Alois HaShachar. So the result is, you say one before Alois HaShachar, and you say another after Alois HaShachar, so the one before counts for the night Shema, and the one after counts for the day Shema.
Sure.
Well, yeah. The problem with that is, the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. You seem to have a contradiction within the Braisa itself. Amrit, Talmud, Shalom, Kodak, Kriyishma, Shtei, Talmud, Balayla. You're saying a person can say Shema twice within one night, meaning that both times you're referring to are still night. Amala, Achash, Yala, Omer, Ashachar, Leoyahu. So you're saying, evidently, that after Alois HaShachar is still considered night. Because that's what you're saying, within one night. Then you're saying that you're yotze with it your obligation of the daytime one, Alma Yamamahu. And then the previous one was for the night, Alma Yamamahu. So that's day. So is the time between Alois HaShachar and Nefahama considered night or day? The answer is Lo'olam Le'olyahu. It is actually night until Nefahama. The reason why it's calling it daytime is the ikka inshi dekaimi vayhi shaita, because there are some people who start getting up at Alois HaShachar. Therefore, in other words, in terms of that people are getting up, it can be called day. But other than that, it's considered night. Now, what does that mean? It's considered night. Tosfos over here learns that what it means is, for most purposes, for most mitzvahs, it's still considered night until Netzachama. For example, Tosfos is learning, Tfilin, Tzitzis, whatever, you can't be doing during that time. When it comes to Kriyishma, since after all, it's Uvashach B'chol Kumecha, and since you have people who start getting up by Alois HaShachar, therefore you can't call it Uvashach B'cha anymore because some people are already getting up. So that's how Tosfos learns, in other words, that basically it is considered night for most purposes in Halacha, only for purposes of Shema. It's not a Rosh Hashanah anymore, therefore you're able to say the morning Shema during that time.
Not
Talis and Tefillin. That's how Tosfos learns. And in fact, Tosfos says you have to say that way because otherwise the Braisa could have said, that you could even between Alois HaShachar and next, you could say Shema twice. Once for Kriyishma Shel Arvis and once for Kriyishma Shel Shacharis. The fact that we're not saying that is saying, the fact that we're saying that is that because for most purposes it is considered night and only insofar as a Rosh Hashanah, we can't consider it a Rosh Hashanah because people are getting it. That's how Tosfos thinks.
Why couldn't you say once immediately after?
So one sentence. So Tosfos is saying the fact that Braisa did not tell us that shows that the Braisa is not saying it is. It shows that the Braisa is considering it basically night. However, when it comes to defining what's a Rosh Hashanah, we can't define it as a Rosh Hashanah anymore. We can define it as a Kumech. Because some people are starting to get up. Now, that's how Tosfos learns.
Because most people get up.
Because some people are getting up. Because you have enough people who are getting up that you can't call it a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah when people are asleep. The machlokas in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Eliezer had held ad sofa shmor al rishona because he held that a rishach hacham means when people are going to sleep. By the time it comes sof zman shmor al rishona, everybody who's going to be asleep that night is asleep.
That's
so therefore, after that, it's not a rishach hacham anymore. According to Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, as we're going to see soon, rishach hacham means as long as people are asleep. So therefore, but once it comes, Alois HaShachar, and people are starting to wake up, then therefore you can't be saying the nighttime Shema. But it's enough people, it's a significant enough minority. That's how Tosfos learns. Most of the other Rishonim, or also the Baal HaMorah learns that way, most of the other Rishonim learn not. Most of the other Rishonim learn, because we're going to have another Braisa in a second, and because of other considerations, actually the Rashba starts by asking the question. He says, I mean, we learned at the very beginning of the Masechta that until Alois HaShachar is considered night, and from Alois HaShachar and on is considered day. So what are you telling me that basically it's considered nighttime, but only for this purpose would we be considering it in the daytime? So because of that, because of a couple of other considerations, most of the other Rishonim learn that no, what the Gemara means over here is, it is considered day as far as halacha is concerned, precisely because people are getting up. So not only as far as Shema, but as far as most other mitzvahs as well that have to be done by day. They can be done from Alois HaShachar,
including
Talis, well, Talis and Tefillin, actually, we're going to see on Kesem and Days. You have a slightly later time, the Shiyakir, but it's still before Netzahama. It's still before Net. But what we're saying is that the reason why the Braisa doesn't say you can't do both is because then it would be self-contradictory. Are you considering it night or are you considering it day? So if you say one before Alois and one after Alois, then fine. Then you're not, it's not self. No, not really, because then you're saying after Alois is already day, and therefore you're saying the day Shema. But if you're saying one after Alois Shachar and considering it night, and then another one, and then considering it day, then it would be self-contradictory, and you can't do that. Okay. Fine. Omer of Achav Bachanina, Omer of Yeshua. Maybe halacha could have Shimon Yechoy. The halacha is like Reb Shimon Ben Yechoy, and therefore you are able to say the nighttime Shema after Alois HaShachar. We'll see soon what the actual bottom line halacha is. Okay. Ikka demasni lahadir of Reb Achav Bachanina ahad. Then there are some who learn of Achav Bachanina's statement that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Yechoy in connection with the following braisa, the Tanya, Reb Shimon Yechoy. Another braisa, Reb Shimon Yechoy says, Mishum Reb Akiva. The first braisa was just Reb Shimon ben Yechoy. The second one is Reb Shimon ben Yechoy, the name of Reb Akiva. The second braisa is Pa'amim Sha'adim Kodah Krishma Shtei Pa'am Vayoyim. There are some times when a person can say Krishma twice during the day. Achas Kodim Ha'nei Tachama Va'achas La'acha Ha'nei Tachama. One before Net, one after Net. So the previous braisa mentioned before and after Alois. The second one mentions before and after Net. The Yotze Ve'en Yedei Chevasa Achas Shoyem Va'achas Shalayla. And with that, he'll be Yotze, the two, one of the first one of the night, and the second one of the day. So again, we have to ask Togufa Kasha. You seem to be having same question, but in reverse. You have a contradiction in the Braisa. Amrit Palmim Shardim Kerik Krishma Shtei Palmim Vayoyim. You're saying, you say that a person is able to say Krishma twice during the day, Alma Kodim Ono Tachami Yamamu. So you're saying, effectively, that the time before Net is already considered part of the day. But you're saying that first Krishma will be for the night, Alma Leo Yahu. So you see that that time is still considered night. So what is it, night or day? And again, the answer is no, there's no contradiction. Really, that time is already considered daytime. The reason why the Braisa calls it night and says you can be Yotze, the Kriyashma of the night, is because there are some people who are still sleeping at that time. Again, as Tosfos says, some people start waking up at Alois, but not everybody. But
basically, the Braisa is saying, for some people it's night, for some people it's day.
So actually, according to Tosfos, it comes out, and according to Tosfos and according to the Baal HaMor, it comes out that the two braises are contradicting each other.
Yeah.
Do we say that you can only say the nighttime Shema until Alois, or do we say you can say it even as far as next?
Right.
Most of the other Rishonim learn that, no, there's no contradiction between the two braises.
Wow.
Just because, well, we said first of all that already from Alois HaShachar is considered day. The two braises are saying two different possibilities. One is, the two braises are talking about two different possibilities. One is when a person is saying before and after Alois, and the other is when it's before and after Net. So what comes out, la-halacha, is like this. If the halacha becomes like this. First of all, we said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. Now the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. Well, so one second. So the Rambam writes, actually, the Rambam writes that there you have machloek at the poskim, what exactly that means. But I'm right that that's only the b'yeva, but clearly you should be saying by chatzos. And one explanation of that is, in fact, the Rambam holds that when it comes to Rav Gamliel versus Rav Eliezer, sure, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, but when it comes to the halacha, when it comes to Rav Gamliel versus the Chachamim, the halacha still has to be like the Chachamim after all, because you're offered Rav Malacha to Rabbim. And therefore, they say only Tzoh Chatzos, and it means only Tzoh Chatzos. So now what you have is like this, actually. Rabbeinu Yonah, at the beginning of the Masechta, understands the Chachamim who say it in Tzoh Chatzos to mean you absolutely cannot say it after Chatzos. You have Midaraita, the Gemara is going to say soon, the Chachamim agree that you can say it until Alois HaShachar, they only want to make a siyog. He learns that the Chachamim are saying, once Chatzos has come, that's it, you've missed the opportunity, we Chachamim are not going to allow you to do the mitzvah anymore and be Yotze Krishna. Rav Gamliel disagrees with that. So therefore, so one way of understanding is that Rav Gamliel agrees that Hachila you should be saying by Chatzos, as we're going to say soon, only B'diyevet, he disagrees, but then what happens? B'diyevet, and he says B'diyevet until Alois HaShachar. So what happens is like
we were saying Chatzos Halala.
Okay, yeah. The Chachamim are saying Tzoh Chatzos, and Rabbeinu Yonah understands it means absolutely no later than Chatzos, and if you didn't, then you missed the opportunity. I'm the Raisi Tzoh Kodman, Rabbanim, we're not going to allow you. Rabbeinu Gamliel disagrees with that. When we say the Halacha is like Rabbeinu Gamliel, so the Rabbanim would learn, maybe in accordance with that, that it means that that even Rabbeinu Gamliel is only saying the Diyevet. Now, what it is like this. We learned a few days ago, we learned on Daf Dalet, that a person is not supposed to be eating or going to sleep before he says Shema in the evening, because then he may end up falling asleep the whole night, and he's going to miss it altogether. So if a person is going to be eating or sleeping, then yes, he has to say Kriya Shema. No, we're talking about Kriya Shema Shel Ayin. We're talking about the one that's required of the Torah. That is required in the Torah. So if a person is going to be going to eat or to sleep or whatever, then yes, he has to say Kriya Shema beforehand. If not, suppose a person is in fact planning to stay up all night. So the actual halacha is, as Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, he could say, obviously, ideally, he should say it before Chatzos, but he is able to say it before Alois HaShachar. Most of the other Rishonim learn that Rav Gamliel was not even talking about Hatchila and B'diyevet. He says even Hatchila in a case like that, you could do it till Alois HaShachar because you're planning to be up all night anyway. If, because of an oinus or something like that, a person was not able to say before Alois HaShachar, then he's able to say it till Metzachamah. If it wasn't an oinus, if it was just that the guy got careless, then no, after Alois HaShachar, he can't.
So what do we say in the Agada?
In the Agada, we say, what do we say? When we say, he gives not Kriya Shema Shel Shachar, the Pashtus, it means it was already Alois HaShachar. It means it was already next. But whatever it is, the point is that what we're saying, according to the ultimate halacha as determined by combining together these various, by sifting through these various opinions of the Rishonim about the understanding of all Gemara over here is that Krishna of night, you could say till Alois HaShachar, even Machatzela. If you didn't, if there was an onus, then you can say it till Metzachamah. But if there wasn't an onus, then no, after Alois HaShachar, then the time's up. As far as the morning Shema, Machatzela, you're supposed to say it only after Metz. But if, for example, a person is in a hurry, they have to go on a trip or something, and they're not going to have a chance to say it later, then they're able to say it from Alois HaShachar now. So therefore, when we have our two braises, the first braise is talking about before and after Alois HaShachar. So that's talking about where it's l'chatchila as far as the nighttime Shema, and in an emergency situation as far as the daytime Shema. So therefore, he's saying the nighttime Shema until Alois HaShachar, and after Alois, he's saying the morning one because he's not going to have time later in the day. The second braise is talking about a case where there was an onus where he wasn't able to say the nighttime Shema before Alois HaShachar, where then he can say it till next. And then after that, after next, you can say the daytime Shema, even not Chila, because that's the proper time for it.
Let me ask you a question. The Torah said, let's say you have a case where he went to bed, and he didn't say Kriyat Shema.
Right.
And he wakes up before Amr Shachar, and he said Kriyat Shema, what does it count for?
It counts for the nighttime, one.
It does count.
Yes, that's what we're saying, until Allah is a Shachar. Okay. Amr, so on this, again, the first version was that Rav Acha Rav Chanina was talking about the first braisa. The second version is talking about the second braisa. According to Tosfos and the Baal Amor, the two braisas contradict each other. According to everybody else, they don't contradict each other. Okay. So Rav Zera says, provided, however, if a person is going to be saying Kriya Shema so late, he should not say Hashkivenu, because Hashkivenu is asking Hashem to help us go to sleep safely, and at this point, it's not the time for sleeping anymore. Rashi learns that this statement of Rav Zera is referring back to the first Braisa, where a person is saying Kriya Shema of the night right before Alois HaShachar. So you shouldn't be saying Hashkivenu, because at that point, it's not really a time to sleep anymore. Tosfos disagrees with that, because then why didn't we mention Rav Zera's statement on the first braisa? So Tosfos says it's referring to the second braisa. If a person is saying Shema between Alois HaShachar and Nes, then he should not say Ashkenazi. That is how it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. In this case, where a person had an oinus or something and he couldn't say it by Alois HaShachar, then he can say the nighttime Shema till Netzachama, but at that point he doesn't say the Bracha Ashkenazi anymore.
Before
Alois HaShachar, he would. Before Alois HaShachar, he would say the Bracha Ashkenazi. Between Alois and Nes, right. So the Gemara says, he also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar. When Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came, he said that this Hodr of Acha bar Chanina, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, this that we said from Rav Acha bar Chanina in the name of Rav Shimon Levi, that we said the halacha is like Rav Shimon, lav b'feirushi. Now, it wasn't said explicitly. Rav Shimon Levi didn't say in so many words the halacha is like Rav Shimon. Elam is kwala itmar. Rather, we can learn it from, we can learn it by inference from something Rav Shimon Levi said. Because it happened with a certain pair of Tamil Chachamim. The Gemara calls them a pair, by the way, because it was usual for them to learn the Chavrusa. So like every pair is a unit. So these two Chachamim, the Ishtako Behilolo Dibred Rabbi Shoban Levi, they got drunk at the wedding of the son of Rabbi Shoban Levi, so they weren't able to say Shema earlier in the night. Hilula means the wedding.
Today it means different.
Well, Hilula means a celebration, so we use it as the celebration of the Ketura of the Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik wants, that in particular we start with the Shem Menichoi, that we celebrate it like a wedding. But yes, the basic meaning of Hibula is a celebration of a wedding. So they got drunk at the wedding of Rabbi Shimon Levi, also the Kamei of Rabbi Shimon Levi, so they came to Rabbi Shimon Levi to ask, what can we do? We're still asleep at Alois HaShachar. It's now between Alois and Nes, can we still say the nighttime Shema? Omar, and he said, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon, listen to Chol B'Shas Etchak, Rabbi Shimon is worthy to rely on him B'Shas Etchak. So when it's a Shachar Chak, this is where we get the distinction that the post can say, Rav Shimon Yochai. This Rav Shimon Yochai is saying that a person in the second braisa, the person can say Shema, all the Shema of the night, all the way till Netzachama, yes, we can rely on him, the Shachar Chak, and therefore, yes, you can still be Yosef Krishna. So the point is, Rav Shimon Levi didn't say in so many words the halacha is like Rav Shimon, but he's saying, yes, go ahead and say Shema, because we can rely on Rav Shimon in such a thing. So that amounts to him saying, therefore the Gemara infers from that he's saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon in such a thing. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Maisa, so that's accepted by halacha. We said, Maisa Shabo Bono Bechola. We said it happened once that Rav Gamliel's children came home from a wedding, and they were asking, they said, we didn't say Shema, and Rav Gamliel tells them, if it's not Alois HaShachar yet, then you can still say it. So the question is, what were they asking? About Hashtala, Shmuel, who held it up with Gamliel? Didn't they know their own father's opinion up to now, that they have to say, we didn't say Shema? They know their father said, still Alois HaShachar, so what's their question? It's before Alois HaShachar, let them say Shema. The answer is, now, what his children are asking him is like this. The question is, we know your opinion. We also know that the Rabbonin disagree with you. So is it, no, we also know the Chachamim said Arhatas. So is it Rabbonin Pligi Ilavach? Is it that the Chachamim disagree with you? They say Midaraisa is only in Tochatsai, and therefore V'yachid B'ram Malacha K'rabim, in which case the Halach can't be like you because you're against the majority. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel's sons are asking him, when we say in the Mishnah, the Chachamim said until Chatzos, is it because they basically agree with Rabbi Eliezer on the definition of the word of a Shachacha, that it means as long as people are getting ready to go to sleep, where the Machlokas is just that Rabbi Eliezer holds people don't bother going to sleep after 10 o'clock, after Ashmura HaRashayna, if they're not asleep by then, they're not planning to sleep that night, and the Chachamim disagree and say until Chatzos is still time of people getting ready to go to sleep, whereas you, Rabbi Gamliel, hold of a Shachacha means as long as people are asleep. Well, in that case, you have a machlokas, and Allah will be like a chachamim. In that case, after chatzos, midaraisa, the time's over. Or maybe the rabbanon do basically agree with you. They say, well, v'shach b'cha does mean as long as people are asleep. They're only saying till chatzos in order to keep a person away from avera. And in that case, then they would agree that now we could still say Shema. So he answers them, your second option is correct. Rabbanon Kabbalistis here, the Rabbanon, the other Rabbanon do agree with me that over Shachbacha means as long as people are sleeping. So it does mean the whole night. Therefore, the Chayavanat, and therefore you are still obligated now because before Alois to say Krishma, the Haidat Amriat Chatzos, the half of Karim and Avera, the reason why they say Chatzos is only a Siag, the Rabbanon, to prevent a person from doing an Avera, from getting careless.
Yes,
so basically they're saying, Chilogus is Bidiyat. Again, Rabbeinu Yonah understands it somewhat differently. He says the Chachamim are saying that after Chatzos, the Chachamim took away your ability to say Shema anymore. And Gamliel is saying that's a Siyog. I disagree with that Siyog. But Midaraisa, everybody agrees you could be saying the Talal is the Shachar, so go ahead and say it. We said in the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah, not only this, but everything where we say that you can do something to a chatzos, it means to lalo to shak. So the question is, where does Rav Gamliel in his words say anything about chatzos? That the Mishnah is then continuing, not only this, lalo zubavad omru. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that this lalo zubavad is an editorial comment that Rebbe or some previous Tana added to the Mishnah. Rav Gamliel is just telling his children, you have to say Krishna. And an editorial comment to the Mishnah, you should know that there were other cases also where the Chachamim said something to Chatzos, and it really means Midaraisa to Lalos to Shachar. It's only Midrabanan and not. But Rav Gamliel didn't say anything about Chatzos. The answer is it's actually a continuation of what Rav Gamliel himself was saying. Rav Gamliel is continuing and explaining something to his children. He's saying, Afilu le Rabbanan de Ka'ami ad Chatzos mitzvah, ad Chatzos, even the Rabbanan who disagree with me and say that you should only say Shema of the night until Chatzos, really mitzvah sa'ad shiyalo man ha-shachar. Even they agree that the mitzvah can be done until Allah is ha-shachar. V'hai de Ka'ami ad Chatzos is only k'de l'hafet adam min ha-veda. So it's not an editorial comment, it's part of Rav Gamliel's own statement in the Mishnah. He's not just telling his children, you have to say Krishma. He's also telling them that you should know this, that you think the Chachamim disagree with me. They're not actually disagreeing. As a general rule, whenever they say that something is only to Chatzos, it really means to Lo Yisrael Shachar, and it's only a Gzeira Zerabbanan. So he's saying the Lo Yisrael Shachar. Okay. And the Mishnah gave two examples. The Mishnah mentioned that Hekta Chalavim Ve'evarim, that bruning the Hekta Chalavim, that bruning the fats and limbs left over from the korbanos can be done all night. And when you have a korban that can be eaten, because the point is there also, that you have, that their connection is also, that those things are supposed to be done only till midaraisa can be done till Allah is the shachar, but midarabanan, we have a zera, and then until chatzos. And also, actually, as far as the Hekta Chalavim Ve'evarim, the Rambam in particular learns that not. He learns that the Gzeira does not apply over there. Maybe it's Koinim Zuzim Haim. Anyway, and then the Mishnah continues that any korban that can be eaten for 2 days and a night can be eaten until any korban that can be eaten for 1 day, B'chol Nechol Miyam Echad, can be eaten until Allah is a Shachar, and it's only Midrabon until Chatzos.
Which ones?
Machatas and Asham, the Shlomim and Nazir. All the ones, most shlomim are 2 days and a night. So most shlomim, you bring it on Tuesday, for example, you can eat it the rest of Tuesday, all of Tuesday night, and Wednesday until Shia. But the ram of a nazir, which is brought as a shlomim, also a chakas, also an asham, all of those can all be eaten only for 1 day and one night, which means you brought it on a Tuesday, then you have Tuesday day and Tuesday night until Allah is a shachar midarais, and until chatzos midarabanan, as we're saying to eat it.
When you say 2 days and a night, it's the night between the
days. Night between the 2 days, right. Okay, so now the Gemara points out that Achilas Pesachim Lekaton. Now you notice our Mishnah is not mentioned in the case of the Korban Pesach, which is eaten only for one night. So that means. So what does that mean? Does the Mishnah mean to imply that you can't eat the Pesach at that? So when is the deadline for eating the Korban Pesach? Or meaning I have a contradiction. And Braisa says Krishma Avis VeHalol B'Loy Lepesachim, as well as saying Halol on Pesach VeAchilas Pesach Mitzvah and Achiyalo Amar Hashachar. All of them is also the mitzvah until Allah is the Shachar. So the Mishnah should have mentioned not only korbanos that are eaten for 1 day, like chatos and an asham, it should have also mentioned korbanos that are eaten for a night, namely the korban pesach, that they can be eaten until Allah is
the Shachar.
And the fact that it doesn't seems to imply that the Mishnah is saying that the pesach is an exception. This that you can only eat it till chatos is actually daraisa, unlike the other ones where the deadline of chatos is only the rabbanon. To keep the person away from Avera. It sounds like the Mishnah is implying that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the deadline is Midaraisa. So what is it? Chatzos. But on the other hand, the Braisa is saying, Tel Aloy Teshachar. Om Rav Yosef, Loy Kasha. So Rav Yosef says, it's not a contradiction. Horab Elozab and Azaya, Horab Akiva. Because our Mishnah versus the Braisa represent two different tenorim, two different opinions. Titania, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'ochol V'tabosa B'layla Azer, the Pasuk says, they shall eat the meat of the Korban Pesach on this night. Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, how much of the night are we talking about? We can figure out. Be'gzei Roshava. Nema kan b'layla hazeh. Here it says they can eat it on this night. V'nema l'halam v'avar to be'er sometime b'layla hazeh. Makas b'chodos also is described as Hashem saying, I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. therefore Malahalan ad Chatzos, Afkan ad Chatzos. When did Makas Chachoris take place? At Chatzos. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the Gzeira Shabbat teaches us that the Korban Pesach can only be eaten midaraisa until Chatzos. Our Mishnah because of the Gzeira Shabbat. So our Mishnah follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. So when our Mishnah does not list the Korban Pesach as an example of something which could be till Alois and only the Chachamim moved up the deadline till Alois HaShachar and the Chachamim moved the deadline up to Chatzos, that is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Continues the Braith, what do you mean though? The Pasuk also says regarding the Korban Pesach that Hashem tells them that they should eat the Korban Pesach b'chit pozon in haste, and that means ad shas chipozon, that means until the time when they were in haste to leave Mitzrayim. Now when they didn't leave Mitzrayim during the night, because in fact the Pasuk says you're not supposed to leave your house, necessarily they only left in the morning, as we learned the other day. Actually we said that Paroi came to Moshe in the middle of the night, but they only left in the morning. But Moshe said, we're not going to leave like fugitives. And anyway, Hashem told us not to leave during the night. We're going to leave during the day. So when were they in a hurry to go? Only in the morning. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, the Pasuk is implying that you can eat the Korban Pesach, midaraisa, until Allah is a shachar. Imkein matam alayma balayla. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, okay, then what am I doing with the word balayla, which you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are using for a day of Shabbat? We need it like this. You would think that maybe the Korban Pesach should be able to be eaten during the daytime after it was shechted, just like all other korbanos. You have, for example, a Korban Todah is another example of a korban that can only be eaten for a day and a night. I forgot to mention that. But for example, a Korban Todah, also the ram of the nazir, also a chatas and osham, whatever, you shech them sometime during the day, like I said on Tuesday, you can eat them the rest of that day as well as that night. So you would think, if it weren't for the word balayla, you would think the same thing, the Korban Pesach. You shecht it on Erev Pesach, so you could begin eating it already on Erev Pesach. Talmud Loma balayla, therefore, the Pesach says balayla hu necho v'loy b'yayim, that it can only be eaten by day, by night, not by day. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't have the word balayla for Gzeira Shabbat. I need it just to tell us that otherwise you would think the Korban Pesach, you could be eating it after it's shechted.
So he doesn't hold
the Gzeira Shabbat, and therefore he says that he learns from B'chit Pozen, and therefore he says till Alois HaShachar.
And how do they say when the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by the Allah?
That's what we're going to discuss now. So the question is, B'shleimel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Isla Gzeira Shabbat. Okay, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who learns the Gzeira Shabbat from Balayla, Itzrich L'michtav Le'hazeh. So according to him, we understand why the Pasuk has to say not only balayla but also hazeh, because the halayla hazeh is needed for the gzeira shabbat. Both words together. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that explains the word hazeh. Elo Rabbi Akiva hai hazeh my obedle. But what does Rabbi Akiva do with the word hazeh? If according to him balayla is only needed to teach us that we can't eat it on the day of Pesach, so what's hazeh doing there?
You could mean balayla, not necessarily this night. But
then therefore, that's the answer. That's the answer. Here says lamauti laila acher. He says it means as opposed to another night. Uda also is what it's coming. Why? Why would you need that? You would think like this. Hol Pesach Kodshim Kalim. After all, the Pesach is part of the class of korbanos called Kodshim Kalim, or Shlomim Kodshim Kalim, and the Shlomim are also Ma Shlomim Nechol L'Shnei Yomim V'Layla Achad. So just like a Shlomim can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between, Af Pesach, you would say like this. Okay, the Pesach you can't eat during the day because V'Layla. But you would think maybe we flip it around. Nechol Shtei Leilas V'Mkayim Beis Yomim. Maybe it can mean the 2 nights instead of 2 days. So therefore, you would be able to eat it for 2 nights and the day in between, and 1 day. Or actually, over here, it doesn't literally mean you should be able to eat it during the day on the first day of Pesach. Because okay, fine. You would start, in other words, if we held that Pesach was like the Shlomim, we would say like this. A regular shlomim, for example, you shecht it during the daytime. You can eat it the rest of that day, the following night, and the following day, till Shvia. Yeah. The Korban Pesach, where you can only begin eating it at night. So you would say you can eat it the night going into Pesach, and the first night of Pesach. You can't eat it during the day of Pesach, fine, because that's Balayla. But then at least it doesn't become noser. You put it in suspense, and you can put it in suspense, and then the second night, so the night after Yom Tov, then you can continue eating it.
And that's what.
Kamash Malon Balayla has zeh. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that's what you need the word hazeh. Balayla hazeh hu necho, ve'en necho balayla achas. So not on a different night. Okay. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah?
All the korbanos, we don't say that. It's no sir.
That's the point. We would have thought that in this case, it doesn't become noso until after the second night. So therefore, we need Hazer to tell us that. So for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what does he say to that? He says, Moloset Sidra Ad Bofer. Now, he says, you can learn that from the fact that the passage says, don't leave anything of it over until the morning. So obviously, that means that morning it becomes noso. Yeah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Moloset Sidra Ad Bofer, Nasta. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The fact, this that Rabbi Akiva is learning from there, right? He can say, I learned from Moloset Sidra Ad Bofer. The Torah is telling you not to leave over from it until the morning. Obviously, that means it becomes noso in the morning. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, Dimei Hosam, yes, but if you only had that Hosam, Habamina, my Boker Sheni. He would say, well, you know what Boker means? It means the second morning. In other words, you shech the korban on your Dalim, you eat it on Tesavov. If it weren't for the word Hazer, you would say that you can't eat it during the day on Tesavov, fine, but then you continue eating it on the night going into Tesavai, in the first night of Chol HaMoed, then don't leave any of it over until the morning of the first day Chol HaMoed. So therefore, you need the word Hazer to tell us that now. Rabbi Elazar Amalach, Rabbi Elazar can answer, no, call Boker Rishon. But when it says Boker, it means the first morning. There's no reason to think that it means any later morning, and therefore you don't need the pasuk to forestall that explanation from the Blosis Siru Menu Ad Boker. So obviously, therefore, Blosis Siru Ad Boker teaches us that you can't leave any of it over for the morning of the 15th, and therefore that means the first morning, because there's no reason to say
the first morning,
therefore that means you can only eat it that night. Therefore, you don't need Hazer, and therefore you have Hazer available for your Zera Shabbat. Okay. The Gemara points out, Bahani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi. These two Tanoim that we just mentioned, they're Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they are actually arguing on the same argument as Tanoim of the previous generation. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa like this. The Pasuk tells us in Parashat Surah A, the Torah tells us again about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, we laid it on the last days of the Sholosh Regalim. The expression in the pasuk is Shom Tizbach HaPesach. There in the Beit Hamikdash, you should shech the Korban Pesach, but erev in the evening, Kivoy Hashemesh, when the sun has come down, Moed Seis Chom Mitzrayim, the time when you left Mitzrayim. Now those amount to three different times. So but erev, that's the problem. But erev implies any time during the afternoon. Because the erev, Rashi explained, begins when the shadows start moving, and when the sun is not directly overhead or as close as possible to overhead, and the shadows start moving. At that point, it's the beginning of erev. In fact, when you start having shadows. In fact, Rashi explains on the pasuk that when the Torah calls the afternoon day neho abayim, what it means is between the two erevs. You have the first erev, which takes place at chatzos, when the sun is no longer at the height, it's no longer as high in the sky as it should. And the second Erev is when it sets. The afternoon, therefore, it's called Ben Huabai. So Erev would mean you could shech at any time in the afternoon. Kivoy Hashemesh would mean only after dark. Moyed Seitz Chom B'Mitzrayim would be the next day, Seitz Bav, which is when they left. So you have three different times. So what is it? Rabbi Eliezer says the three times are as follows. Bo Erev after Zevek. In the afternoon on Erev Pesach is when you shech the Korban Pesach. Uchavoy Hashemesh after Oichel. When the sun has completely gone down and it's dark, that's when you can start beginning to eat it. Umoyed Teis Chom Mitzrayim after Thoris. When it comes the time when you left Mitzrayim, which is Halos HaShachar, at that point is the time to burn it. When it becomes noiser. Okay, practically speaking, you can't burn Kod Shem on Yom Tov. So therefore, you leave them over for the next day, but at that point, it already needs to be burnt because it's noiser. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, Midaraisa, you can eat the Korban Pesach until Alos HaShachar. Only at Moyed Seis Chom Mitzrayim, which is Alos HaShachar, only then does it expire. So that would be like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it means like this. So it means like this. But erev after zeveach, in the afternoon is when you shech the korban pesach. Tivoy Hashemesh after oichol, when the sun comes down and night falls when you eat. Vav motzai after oichol v'holech. Sorry, I said it wrong actually. Rabbi Eliezer says that the morning moed teisum of time is when you burn it. But in other words, he's saying the deadline for eating it is actually earlier than that. So that would be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I agree on the first two parts, but the third part, up until what point can you eat it until the time when you left Mitzrayim, which is the morning. In other words, he's saying, like Rabbi Akiva, that you can eat the Korban Pesach until Alos HaShachar. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you can own that aloi kashacha is when it becomes no, is when you have to burn it, but the actual time for eating it ends earlier than that, namely a chatzis. Amar Abba hakol moedim. Now Rabbi Abba says the actual argument is like everybody agrees. K'nigalu Yisroel Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim, l'nigalu ela ba'erev, they were redeemed in the evening. In other words, Tare gave them permission during the night to leave. So at that point already, it's considered the Geula is in effect. Because two psukim earlier than the one that we quoted, two or three psukim earlier than the pasuk we quoted, Shom Tizbachas HaPasach, the pasuk says Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night, so it doesn't mean they actually left at night, it means they were given permission to go at night. Everybody agrees to that. When they left, everybody agrees that they left during the day. The day after the Korban Pesach was brought, the Jewish people left proudly. So therefore, so we see, in other words, they left during the day. So those two things everybody agrees to. So what is the argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva?
Al shas chipozo. Wait one second. Matat b'choros
was exactly after Laila. Yes.
So therefore, after Laila, after Chatzos the Laila, it's not really Laila, is it?
It is still Laila, but that's when Parah gave them permission to leave. We said before, it's still Laila until at least Elazar Shachar. So, yeah, so sometime during that time, yes. So al manechlaku al shasti pozen. The argument is, what do we consider the time of haste? When we say that they were in haste, and Rabbi Akiva used that before to say that it means when they were hasty to leave Mitzrayim, what does that mean exactly? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah stava mai chipozen in Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds the haste that we're talking about is the haste of Mitzrayim. Meaning that once Makas Bechoris came, they were in a hurry to get the Jewish people out. As opposed to Tara is coming to Moshe in the middle of an hour in the middle of the night and telling them to go. The Mitzrayim, it says, a couple of psukim later, it says, the Mitzrayim are pressuring the people to leave because we're all going to die. So at night, there was chipozen because of the Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, that point is when the chipozen applies. So yes, he agrees, in other words, with Rabbi Akiva, that we said before, that the chipozen means till the time of chipozen, but he says it means the chipozen of the Mitzrayim.
The haste of the Egyptian,
and therefore that means midnight. Rabbi Akiva says, "My chipozin, chipozin in Israel." Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds it means the haste of the Jewish people, because they're not in a hurry to leave during the night; they're only in a hurry to leave beginning in the morning. So therefore, so you can eat the carbon Pesach until Allah Tashana.
What happened with there were more carbonos because of that? Because they delayed.
What does one have to do with the other? They stressed the carbon Pesach on our face.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not. Tani nami ho, no, because it all happened after that time. Tani nami ho, we learn indeed like that. The Braisa, Hoshiach Hashem alatachem Mitzrayim loyla. The pasuk says Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night. What do you mean? Mechiba laila yotzi. They didn't go out at night. Ralila yotzi alav yoyim. They only left by day. She nami machas at Pesach yotzi b'nei Yisrael b'yad Rama. Ela malame chase chilul. I have geula mebe'erev. From this we learn that the geula began even from the night time before, which is when Pare came to them. As we discussed before, we had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan saying that even by Mayri, it's important to be so much Geula L'Tfila, and he said because there was a stage of the Geula that took place by night, namely that the actual leaving the Mitzrayim took place only by day. But the fact that they were given permission and told to leave happened by night, and therefore that can be considered a stage in the Geula. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, therefore, that's the stage when you can't eat the Korban Pesach anymore at Chatzos. And we said also before, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan said that by Myra you have to be so much Geula L'Tfila. You have to say a bracha having to do with Geula right before Shemoneh Esrei.
They didn't.
What do you mean they didn't?
The real Geula
was during the day, but there was a stage of it that happened by night. That's what we're saying.
So it was considered so much.
So therefore when we daven Myra, we say Gal Yisrael, we say Ashkivenu, which we said is considered part of Geula as well, and then we immediately go to Shemoneh Esrei.
Right, but they did not. They wait until the morning.
But a stage of the Geula happens like that. That's what we're saying. But that is already considered a power of the Geula. Okay. Since we're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so let's talk about a little agadta on the subject. The pasuk says, Daber Naba Ozner Omavem. Hashem says to Moshe, please speak it to the people and tell them to borrow silver and gold and whatnot from Mitzrayim. Why please? The word no means that Hashem is pleading with them to please do this. Now why? It means Hashem is telling Moshe, please go tell the Jewish people, that Hashem is asking you, Shalom and Mitzrayim, Klei Kesef Klei Zahav, borrow gold and silver utensils from the Mitzrayim. Why do I need you to do that? Shalom Yoma, or you say Tzadik, in order that that Tzadik, namely Avraham Avinu, should not say, look, Va'avonim Avinu Oysav Kiyobam. This we have by Bris Ben Absorim. Hashem told Abraham they're gonna work for them, they're gonna afflict them, and then Vatashen Yetzibuchosh Gadol. So yeah, I don't want Abraham to be saying that Vatashen Ve'inu Oysam Kiyam Behem. He fulfilled with them in the most literal sense. Vatashen Yetzibuchosh Gadol Loikiyam Behem. But this is that we should go out with great wealth. He wasn't the kind. No, not Lashon Hara, but he'd be complaining. He would say, for example, now, the fact of the matter is, this Rechush Gadol primarily refers to a Ruchnius, to wealth, and we talk about all over in Chassidus, for example, they brought out a huge number of sparks of Kedusha that were embedded in Mitzrayim. Hashem could have, so to speak, gotten away with saying, okay, the Rechush Gadol is Ruchnius, what do you want? But Avraham would have answered to that look, I mean, the Avodim V'inu Oysam also could have been in a Ruchnius took away. The Zoya mentions, for example, on this week's parish, actually, when we say that the Jewish people work, the Chomer will have been. The Chomer is Tava Chomer, the Levenim is Libun Hilchasa. So it could have been that the enslavement and everything was also only on a Ruchnius took a level. It didn't have to be on a Gashmius took a level. So Avraham could well say, well, the fact is it was on a very Gashmius took a level, so why shouldn't the Rechush Gadol also be? So therefore Hashem says to Moshe, please ask the Jewish people that they should please do this. Now, why do they need to be asked? So Hakosev and Eliyakov brings a long explanation about it. The gist of it is that the fact of the matter is the Jewish people would have said, you know, it's kind of dishonest to do it this way. It's one thing if we tell them that we're taking this because, you know, you owe this for to borrow, and then they're not going to end up returning it. So it's not right. So therefore, they don't like the idea. And why tax them? The Yidden would say, and therefore Hashem has to plead with them to do it this way. And why indeed did Hashem have them do this way? So he brings from the Ran that the reason is because ultimately Hashem wanted that the Mitzrayim are going to be punished at the Yam Suf. They're going to realize, hey, the Jewish people are not coming back and they took all our stuff with them. Let's go chase them and get it all back, and that way they get drowned in the Yam Suf. If they knew to begin with that they're chasing it for keeps, they wouldn't have bothered chasing after them, and they wouldn't have gotten what they deserve at Kriyas Yam Suf. So therefore Hashem had to orchestrate it all this way, so to speak, threat, to do it in such a way that would end up tricking them, right? The Marsha says, they thought, look, I mean, Marsha the whole time is saying we're only going for 3 days into the Midbar, yeah. Marsha explains differently. Marsha says that just because the Gemara is going to say soon, the Jewish people didn't necessarily want to be carrying all this extra burden. So therefore, they just want to get going, so therefore Hashem has to please them. Okay. Amru
Loi, and it seems to be contradicting a bit that she passed on. The one says they wanted to leave immediately, and now we have to ask for the gold.
Well, that's true, but that's why Moshe had to ask. That's why Moshe had to plead with them. Amru Loi. No, they were in a hurry, but the fact is Moshe told them, Hashem is telling you, you have to do this. Amru Loi, so the Jewish people said to Moshe, why should we bother? Well, Levi should nate about me. How if I would just get out on our own? We don't care whether we bring anything with us. Like a person who was in jail, and people are telling him, tomorrow you're coming out of jail, and you're also going to be given a lot of money. He says, I beg of you, just take me out today, meaning I don't need anything else. So the same way, the Jewish people are saying, we'd rather just get out now rather than having to take the time to borrow all the material and gold and silver. So because of that, Hashem had to plead with them to do this.
And then later on, again, didn't we tell you that we
yeah, okay, whatever. Okay. The Pesuk says, Vayashil Lum. Because, in other words, they did want to leave, but on the other hand, you know, you had some, probably different people had different thoughts about it. I don't know. Okay. The Pesuk says, Vayashil Lum. The Pesuk says, they lent to them. Now, if it just meant that they lent, that the Mitzrayim lent the stuff, it would just say Vayashil Lum. So what's Vayashil Lum? Vayashil Lum, they lent them.
They asked them.
Vayish alum would mean they lent them. Vayat would mean they asked them. Vayash ilum means they lent them. Shoyl, the mashil means to lend. But vayash ilum implies that there was an element of coercion over there. Amarabami malamet sheishilum bar kocham. It means that they lent them against their will. Vayash ilum means they lent them. But the extra mem over there implies that they had to force them.
So shil means
to lend. So who is being forced? Ikadavi Bao Kochim the Mitzrayim, the Ikadavi Bao Kochim the Israel. Two different versions. One is that it was against the will of the Mitzrayim. They lent it whether they wanted to or not. And the other, it's Bao Kochim the Israel.
Did they force them to...
So what is that they forced them to take it?
To take it.
Because you have a pasuk of Tilim, the capital Samachet of Tilim describes poetically various events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah, and there's an expression in the pasuk over there, Unvas Bayis Techalek Sholo, the one who lives in the house is dividing the spoils. So that refers to, you have some Jews who are neighbors of Mitzrayim, and the pasuk says they should borrow from their neighbors silver and gold, and it says they're dividing up the spoils. Spoils implies something that they took against the will of the person who owned it previously. So therefore, that would imply that there was an element of coercion on the Mitzrayim.
When you see it under, you can see it on another angle, which is, after all, from the beginning, they were enslaved, and now they're leaving as free people, therefore they should be paid for what they've done.
Right, but again, the Ran is saying, but if they did that, then the Mitzrayim would have given up any hope of getting this back, and they wouldn't have bothered chasing them to the Amtsus, and then they wouldn't have gotten their punishment that they deserved.
Without telling them, they could have said, you know, we're going to borrow, and then not pay them back, but really...
But that's the point. The point of it was, first of all, to fulfill the promise of Acher Chen Yetzir B'Rechus Gadol, and second of all, yes, it was meant as at least partial payment for everything that, yes. But the fact of the matter is, according to this opinion, there was Baal Kochim the Mitzrayim, and one explanation of that is because even though the Pasuk says that the Mitzrayim lent all the stuff willingly, Hashem Nasan Aschena Am. But nevertheless, we know that there was a famous thing where if a Jew is asking to borrow such and such, and the Mitzri said, I don't have any such thing, I don't know what you're talking about, the Yid would tell him during Makas Choshech, I went through your drawers and saw it. So in that sense, there was an element of coercion, like even if the Mitzri tries to deny that he has this thing, the Yid would be able to show him that you're not telling the truth. So therefore, so that's Baal Kochim the Mitzri. The version that says that it was against the will of the Jewish people, because it's a burden. Why they don't want to bother schlepping all that extra stuff. Actually, the Chassam Sofer has a different explanation on it. He says there's a din on Shabbos. We're going to learn about Hashem. We'll learn in the Sefer of Shabbos when the time comes that you're not allowed to have an animal carry a burden for you on Shabbos. So Mechamer, they were concerned about Hokus Shabbos over here. So therefore, it's one thing. No, well, eventually there's going to be a Shabbos during the time they're gone, right? Yeah. But especially, I mean, the original, they were, Moshe is saying that they're going to be going to Paris, they're going to be going for 3 days. The time was Thursday, so that's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So it's one thing if they're taking along things that they need, okay, but if they're taking along gold and silver, which they don't need, then the Chassam Sofer learns that the Gemara is saying they would have been concerned about not necessarily, because the plan was they're going to be returning after 3 days or whatever, so on Shabbos they're still going to be traveling, so whatever, anyway. Moshe is telling Paray the whole time. Shlosh is yelling. Okay. The pasuk continues by Natsu es Mitzrayim. The pasuk continues that they emptied out Mitzrayim. So what's this expression by Natsu? Amar Ami Melamet Shasak Mitzuda Shein Badogram. This teaches us that they made it like a Mitzuda, like a trap Shein Badogram, which has no grain left in it. The same way they emptied out Mitzrayim of all of its wealth. But the Shlokish Amasa Ula Kimitsula Shein Badogram. The Shlokish gives a different analogy. They made it like the depths of the sea, which have no fish in them. Because there's no fish over there, because nothing's going to be.
For the grain, the Mitsuda is what?
Mitsuda means a trap. A trap. Rashi describes over here that, for example, people who are bird trappers, they set out a trap and they put grain in it in order to attract the birds, and then the birds get caught in the trap. So when the trap is empty of grain, then
why don't we say it's a granary that
has no grain? So there is actually a different Gersa that says that, but apparently the Gemara wanted to use the word vaynaflu similar to the word mitsuda.
A trap.
Yeah. There's a word vaynaflu, the dalet of the lamed of vaynaflu is similar to the dalet of mitsuda, because they're both dental letters. Two analogies. They made it like a trap with no grain, or like the depths which have no fish. Ben Yoyada says that I brought in a sicha once. That the difference is: are we looking from the point of view of Alma de Scalia or Alma de Scalia? Are we looking from the point of view of the revealed world? Then we compare it to a trap, which is on the surface of the ground. Are we comparing to the? Are we speaking about the hidden aspects and the sources of kedusha and whatever? Then we're talking about in terms of the depths and fish. Okay. Another thing in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have in Parashas Shmos, this week's parasha, Hashem tells Moshe that Moshe asks, what's your name? And Hashem says, Echia Asher Echia, where the basic meaning of it is, I will be what I will be. So what does that mean? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Leich Emor Lahem Yisrael, means Hashem is telling them, Moshe, go tell the Jewish people as follows, Ani Hayisi Imachem B'Shibud Zeh, I have been with you all this time during this enslavement, V'Ani Eyeh Imachem B'Shibud Malchus, and I will also, so that's the first Eyeh, and the second Eyeh, I will be, Ani Eyeh Imachem B'Shibud Malchus, I will be with you in the future when you're subjugated to other nations, to other empires. So Moshe says, isn't it enough one trouble at a time? In other words, why am I telling them? Why do you want me to tell them that in the future they're going to be subjugated to other empires and kings as well?
No,
forget that. They're dealing with the Tzara of Mitzrayim over here now. Why do you need to make them feel bad to tell them that in the future there's going to be other gullies? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, go tell them, only one time, sent me to you. In other words, don't tell them about the other Golasin. Marsha explains that it's not that Moshe said, and Hashem said, you're right. What it is Hashem is saying to Moshe, you misunderstood me. You thought that both parts of that message are meant for the Jewish people. No, only the first part to begin with was meant for the Jewish people. The second part is for your ears only. They should know that I've been with them all this time in the Golas. You, between me and you, you should know there are going to be other Golasin as well, and I will be with them. I never intended, you're wondering, how should I tell that to the Jewish people? I never intended for you to say that second part to them at all. That's how Marsha learns. Okay.
Smart way of, because otherwise it would be very discouraged.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing we find, another double expression, you find Eliyahu says, and he learned this previously, that the Eliyahu says by Harakamo, Aneni Hashem Aneni, answer me Hashem, answer me. Why the double expression? Amar Abba Loma Amar Eliyahu Aneni Beis Pamim. Melamed, this teaches us Sha'amar Eliyahu L'Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that Eliyahu is saying to Hashem like this. Ribbono Shel Olam. First of all, Aneni Shekeret Esh Min HaShamayim B'Techo Kol Asher Al HaMizbeach. First of all, answer me that a fire should come down from Shamayim and consume everything that's on the Mizbeach, even though it was all wet and everything. V'Aneni, and what's the second Aneni? Shetasiach Daitam, take away from their going into their mind something that they might say. Kedesh Eliyahu Ma'asib Shavim. I don't want them to think that this was accomplished through Kishur. Because the whole point of it is to demonstrate that Hashem is powerful and Lahav Yo Baal is not. And if they think it's because of Kishur, then it'll undercut the whole thing. To prevent them from thinking that in the first place. That's the second Anim. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, Va'ata Hasi Boises, Liba Macheranis, the pasuk continues, you've turned their hearts backwards. In other words, Eliyahu is saying to Hashem, in a certain sense, you're kind of at fault for all of this because you made it possible for people to have such thoughts of Avodah Zarah and whatnot. So now I'm asking you for a moment to take that ability away from them so that they know that this is Min HaShemayim and not anything else.
And that's what happened.
Okay. Mishnah says, the previous Mishnah was about Shema at night. Now comes when can you say Shema during the day? Mishayatu ben Techeles Lelovan. From when you can distinguish between Techeles and white? We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Rabbi Eliezer Anu ben Techeles Kauti. Rabbi Eliezer says when you can tell the difference between Techeles and Kauti. Kauti is the color of a leek, which is greenish, so it's much closer to the color of Techeles, which is a blue or dark blue or whatever color. It's close enough that at night you wouldn't be able to tell the difference as easily. But once it starts getting daylight, even before Netzach Hamah, you're able to tell. But it's harder to tell than it is between black and white. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is saying a later time. Okay. Continues the mission of a Goymer Ad HaNetzach Hamah. The time for Shema is till Netzach Hamah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ad Shalosh Shoes. Rabbi Yeshua says you have until 3 hours into the day.
You can't say the Kriyas Shema in our beach is until Aleph HaShachar. How can you say the Kriyas Shema in Shachar is until Aleph HaShachar?
Not until Aleph HaShachar, until Netzach Hamah. Fine, Aleph Netzach Hamah is sometime after Aleph HaShachar. But we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ad Shalosh Shoes. Rabbi Yeshua says you have until 3 hours of the day. Shekein Derech Malachim Lamed Shalosh Shoes. Because kings usually get up 3 hours into the day, so up until that time it can be still called Ukumecha. Right. Hakodim is kind of Eilach Lehid. Somebody reads Shema any later than that, he hasn't lost out of Shema. Ka'odim Hakodim HaTorah, it's like a person who's reading Torah. In other words, he doesn't get the mitzvah, he doesn't get the schut of saying Shema in its time, but he still has a mitzvah like learning Torah. Now, what's the chiddush in it? Why would you think otherwise? One explanation is Rabbeinu Yonah brings from Rabbeinu Shlomo Min Ha'har, one of the Chachamim of province in the generation before him, that he says, Rabbeinu Shlomo says, that what it means is that even if the person is saying Shema by heart, usually when a person is reading Turdish, usually Turdish Chassab is only meant to be written, is only meant to be read from something written.
Right.
But here a person usually says Kriyashma by heart. He would think after 3 hours in the day he's not allowed to do that. No, we're saying he's still allowed to do that. Because even when it comes to reading Torah, a person is allowed to say the parts of Torah that are familiar by heart. Shema being one of them. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My ben chelas lalavan. What do we mean that a person is able to tell, when a person is able to tell the difference between chelas and white, then he's able to say Krishna. Ilema ben gvava da'amra chibra v'gvava da'amra da'chelta. Do you mean when a person is able to tell the difference between a bundle of white wool and a bundle of blue wool? What do you mean? Gvava means a bundle of wool. Chivra, which is white, the gvava da'amr to tchelta, and between a bundle of blue wool, habalel yanami made yada. You don't even at night, even when it's pitch black, and pitch black, whatever, even when it's very dark outside, you can tell that difference. Because one is light and one is dark. Ela ben tchelas shabal lavan shabal. Rather, what the Mishnah means is when you're able to tell the difference between the tchelas in it and the white in it. So what does that mean? Rashi described, let's say you have a piece of wool that was dyed blue. Inevitably, the dye doesn't take evenly throughout all the wool. So you have places where it's a solid blue, and then you have places where it's whitish, because the dye didn't take. When you can tell the difference between those areas, then it's time to say Krishna.
Within the same piece.
Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that what it refers to is the tzitzit. You have blue strings in the tzitzit and you have white strings. When you're able to tell the difference between the blue strings and the white strings, then that's called that it's time for Shema. Okay. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Reb Meir, Oimim, Shiyaka ben Zev Lakeler. Reb Meir says a different definition. It's the time when your person can tell the difference between a wolf and a dog. That's the time, then it's light enough outside for Krishna. Rav Akiva Omer ben Chamor La'aroi. Rav Akiva says when a person can tell the difference between a domestic donkey and a wild donkey. V'acherim Omer, then Acherim say, Tosfos points out, usually Acherim is Rav Meir. He apparently not, because we already had Rav Meir's opinion. Well, some of the Acherim say that actually Acherim may mean Rav Meir when he changed his mind. So in other words, you would have Rav Meir's original opinion, and then he already changed his mind. Okay. But Acherim, a different explanation, is also called Acherim when he's quoting something from his Rebbe Acher, Elisha ben Avoya. Anyway, Acherim, I mean, Mishiyira es chaveri richuk galon amos, the time for saying Shema is when a person sees his friend 4 amos away, but yaki renu when he rests. This is why we call this time Mishiyakir. The Mishnah already used the word Mishiyakir, and we're saying that Mishiyakir, when you can recognize your friend from 4 amos away. One second. Amar Rav Huna, yeah, but if it's dark at night, you won't be able to. One second. Amar Rav Huna, halacha ka'acherim. Rav Huna says the halacha is like the acherim, so that's the time when you're able to distinguish, Now, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, we can't be talking about a close friend, because then you would be able to tell him, you would be able to recognize him even further away. And we can't be talking about somebody you don't know at all. So it means somebody like you sort of know him. The Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, like, for example, like a guest who comes once in a while. So you wouldn't recognize him right off the bat, but when he's within 4 amos, if it's light enough, you'll be able to recognize him.
Incidentally, you can recognize someone just by the way he walks, by his gait.
That's fine. We're talking about if you just see him.
We're talking about seeing his face.
The Pnei Yeshua has an interesting explanation. He says, it's fine. It's one thing as far as Mishiyakub and Chelus Lulavon, what that has to do with Shema, because okay, or is the voice, you're supposed to see the sisters. And that has to do with Krishna. What on earth does seeing the difference between a dog and a wolf, or between a domestic donkey or a wild donkey or whatever, what does that have to do with Krishna? He says, because Ukumecha means when people are getting up. When are people going to be getting up and going on the road? Actually, not just in that, because the positive continues, but last the Chavadera. When are people going to be going on the road? Only when it's safe to. So it needs to be light enough that a person is going to be able to tell the difference between domestic animals, which are safe, and wild animals, which are not. Therefore, the Pnei Yeshua says, that's where Reb Meir and Reb Akiva and Acherim are getting their opinions from. Once it's light enough that you can tell the difference, this is a wild animal, I better not go that direction, or this is a stranger, I don't recognize him, so let me not get too close to him, then it's light enough that it's a Velech HaKabaderach, and then you can be saying Krishna. Amar Abaya, l'tfilin ka'acherim, when it comes to putting on tefillin, the halacha is like acherim, that you can start putting it on that you can start putting them on beginning at Mishayakir, at this time Mishayakir, and then the post can have different exact definitions of it, how long before Nefechama it is, whatever, we on the calendar, you find a time given according to different opinions. There are Ge'onim and Rishonim who have the Girsa, not Litfilin, but Litfila, as far as Shemana Esrei, at the earliest time of Shemana Esrei is Mishayakir. With Krishma Kavasikin, as far as Krishma, the earliest time to say Krishma is like the Vasikin, which means the Amr of Yechon, Vasikin, how you go in the Imanaitahama. The Vasikin, the very careful people who are very careful in mitzvahs, would be careful to finish Shema right before Hanaitahama. Tanya Nami Hachi, Vasikin, how you go in the Imanaitahama, Kadesh Yismach Ge'ula Litfila. This way he'll put Ge'ula right before Tfila. This way he'll finish Gaul Yisrael, and immediately it'll be Netachama and he'll start Shemana Esrei. But Nimtim is followed by Yom, and that way he's davening Shemana Esrei after Nes, like he's supposed to. Amar of Zera, my cross, that Zera says, what's a pasuk that expresses that idea? A pasuk says, until the Yira'ucha im Shamesh, they will fear you, Hashem, with the sun, and that means Krishma, when they're accepting on themselves Oro Malchus Shemayim, im Shamesh, as the sun is about to come up, which means before Netachama, v'lefnei Yareach, and before the moon, meaning Mincha, which is posted in Davin, late in the day, dur-durim for generations upon generations. So we see that the appropriate time for Shema is right before Netachama. Hayed Rabbi Yosi ben Oyakim Mishum Kahala Kadisha de Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosi ben Oyakim gave testimony in the name of the Holy Congregation of Yerushalayim. Who is the Holy Congregation of Yerushalayim? So Rabbi Nissim Goin on the side over here brings various other Gemaras that mention them. These are people who divided their time appropriately, one third of the day for davening, one third of a day for learning, one third of a day for working. Also because they divide their time appropriately between the winter and the summer. I saw once an explanation that what it is after the Romans destroyed the second Beit Mikdash and destroyed Yerushalayim, officially Jews weren't allowed to live in Yerushalayim, but you had some people who managed to hang on there, and they're the Kol HaKadusha of Yerushalayim. Okay, anyway, whether it's them, whether it's whatever it is. Anyway, so he gave Adris a new name, Kol HaSemach Ge'ula L'Tfila. Anybody who puts Ge'ula next to Tfila, Einin Nizit Kol HaYom Kuloi. He won't be harmed that whole day. The schus of that. Amr of Zera, so Zera says, "Any, is that so? I did Geula next to Tefillah, as you're supposed to, and I still got harmed that day.
What happened?
So they said to Rav Zera, my Yitzchak. After all, what was the harm? Da'amtiyas also the Bey Malka, that you had to bring Hadassim to the palace? That was a bother to you to have to bring Hadassim? That's not a tossing nami. You very lost the mayor of Agra, Lamesti, Apimalka. After all, you would have normally had to pay in order to see the king. So like this was your payment. So it's not really considered a damage. Okay.
Why didn't you consider it a damage?
Can you consider it a damage because it was a waste of his time or whatever? I don't know. I guess he considered it. It wasn't something that he felt. I don't know. That's a good question. But whatever it is, the point is he felt that it was a hezek, and they're telling him it's not really. So the thing still holds good. A person does Geula next to Tefillah. Tosfos points out, the fact is everybody does Geula next to Tefillah. And so what's the chiddush in it? And in fact, the next case in the Gemara where we're going to say that there seems to be some kind of chiddush in it, Tosfos says it means that not only there's plain of Geula to Tefillah, which fine, we do, say Gaul Yisrael, and then start to answer it, but also they do it like the Vasikin, where they time it exactly where they finish Gaul Yisrael as the sun is rising, and then they start Shema right then. That's a much harder thing to do, right? So this, by the way, when we say in the Mishnah that we said Ad HaNetzachama, that Rabbi Yezus says Ad HaNetzachama, many of the Rishonim say, to answer your question from before about how do you have so little time, if first of all, it doesn't mean, keep in mind, according to Rabbi Yezus, the nighttime Shema is only until Hashemoda HaRishonim. So you have a considerable amount of time between the nighttime Shema and the daytime Shema. This is what he said, until Alois HaShachar is only according to Rabbi Gamliel. But second of all, also, there are Rishonim who say that even Rabbi Eliezer is not saying you must finish it by Netachama, but the proper time to is to do less of a sikin and finish it by Netachama. He would agree that if you didn't, then B'diyevid you have later in the day. Many of the Rishonim.
The proper time to daven is before Nes.
So the proper time, according to him, would be that you say Shema, timing it to finish at Nes, and then you say Shema, and then you say Shema Nes. You have people who daven Lasikin. You have people who daven Lasikin, but it's not such a common thing. So continuing with Reb Zeira's thing, so they're telling him, after all, why is it not considered a hezek, this that you had to bring Hadassim to the palace? Because after all, normally, it would be appropriate for you to pay money to see the king. De'om Reb Yechanan, and as we find, Reb Yechanan says, lo'olam yishtado adam loros v'kras malcha Yisrael, a person should always make an effort to go and run to see Jewish kings, v'loy l'kras malcha Yisrael bovad, not only to see Jewish kings, el afil l'kras malcha akum, even to see non-Jewish kings, she'im yizke, because this way, if a person has this chus in Olam Haba, to see when Mashiach comes, yavchin min malcha Yisrael, malcha akum, will be able to see the difference between Jewish kings and Goyish kings. So therefore, they're telling Reb Zeira, you think it's a waste of time to go see the king, but you should realize that actually, you're required to.
Little did he know that for 2,000 years or more, there wouldn't be any Jewish king.
No, obviously Rabbi Yechanan knew that. In his times, there weren't Jewish kings, but the point is that...
Well, he would have said that then.
She'im yizke, if he has a foot, when Mashiach comes, then he'll be able to see the difference. Right. And he knew very well there are no Jewish kings in his time. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Zeira knew what's going on.
There wouldn't be any Jewish kings for the next 2,000 years.
What's the difference? The point is eventually Mashiach is going to come. There's going to be Tchiyat HaNesim. And then, yeah, fine. Amri Rabbi Ila La'ula. Rabbi Ila one time said to Ula, Ki Ailas Lahasam, when you go there, meaning to Babel, Ula used to travel back and forth between Israel and Babel. Ailas means when you go in. Shoil Bishlama de Rabruna Achi. Ask after the welfare of Rabruna, my brother, the Maimad Kola Chavura, in the presence of all of the Chachamim who are there. And why did he deserve that honor? The Adam Gadol who besameach the mitzvah. Because Rabruna is a great person and he's happy when he does mitzvah. For example, Zimna Chada Samach Geula L'Tfila. One time he managed to say Geula right before Tfila, and it's supposed to say that he managed to time it exactly like a Vasikin. That whole day he was smiling because he was so happy that he had accomplished the mitzvah in the best possible way. So such a person, you should greet him in front of all the other chachamim. There is a verse that told the Siyat of Yosef, one of the great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, brings in a sefer that the causation is actually the other way around. That the fact that he was happy all that day shows that he accomplished a lot with his tefillah that day. It shows that he accomplished, if a person is wondering, did I accomplish a lot, did I accomplish something with my davening, was it worthwhile, basically, you should see, is he happy afterwards or is he not? So simcha, after all, is a very important thing. So if he sees that he's happy afterwards, then he knows that his tefillah accomplished something. Here, where we see where a beruna is happy the whole day, then it shows it's because he actually accomplished great things with his tefillah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The question is, Hefi Mati Samech, how are you able to do Geula right before Tefillah? We said before that at the beginning of Shemini Esrei you say Hashem Tzvate Tiftach, so that's an interruption between Gal Yisrael and Shemini Esrei.
We said no.
Well, that we said before, that's not because the Gemara is going to give that answer soon. The first Gemara tries other answers. So Rabbi Loza says, you're right. Rabbi Yechanan's statement about saying Hashem Tzvot Letitach can only be by Ma'ariv, because it's not so important to be Sonach Ge'ula or Tefillah by Ma'ariv. True, there was a stage of Ge'ula at night, but it's not considered the essential Ge'ula, because they only left by day, therefore being Sonach Ge'ula or Tefillah is by night. So the question is, Ba'amr Rabbi Yechanan Ezeo Ben Ha'olam Haba Zeh Ha'Sonach Ge'ula or Tefillah Shal Iris or Tefillah Shal Iris. Yeah, the Ikr Gula was by day. The question is, didn't we say before that Rabbi Yechanan said that a Ben Olam Haba is somebody who puts Geula by Ma'ariv, right next to Shemana Esra at Ma'ariv. So by Ma'ariv also happen to be saying Hashem Tzvot Letitach. Okay, Elam Rabbi Loza Tevet Tfilah HaMincha. So Rabbi Loza says, you're right. When do you say Hashem Tzvot Letitach? Only by Mincha. Rabbi Ashi. Shachar is not, because you need to be Tzvot Geula Tfilah. Wait, 1 second. Rav Ashi, Amar Afilu Tema Akulu. Rav Ashi says, no, you can say Hashem Tzvot Letitach by all of them. The Kivin to Kav Or, Rabbanan B'Tfilah, once the Rabbanan set it up as a permanent power of davening, to Tfilah, Arius Tadamia, then it's considered like an extension of Shemoneh Esrei. The Eloi Tema Hochi, because after all, if you're not going to say that, you would have to ask, anyway, how are you able to put them together by Ma'ariv? Well, Boi Lameh Hashkivenu, you have to say the Barach Hashkivenu, isn't that a Hesed? Ella, no, the answer is, as we said before, and that's valid, given Shakina Rabban Ashkivenu, once the Rabbanan made the Tatana to say the Brach Ashkivenu, because the Ula Arich Sadami, then it's considered like a one long thing of Geula, it's not a Hesek, Hachinami, given the Kabur, Rabban Ritzvila, the same thing, once the Rabbanan set up to say Hashem Tzvot Letitach at the beginning of Shona Esrei, Kitzvila Arich Sadami, then it's considered like a one long part of davening, and therefore you are being sent with Geula Ritzvila. So it can be even by Shachar, it can be even by Maimonides. Okay. The question is now like this. Nechti, let's consider. The words, when we say the words, Rabbi Yochanan has said before that you're supposed to say Yul HaRotzen at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. But the question is, the word Yul HaRotzen can be also, can be understand, Mashmal of a Sof or Mashmal Me'ikra. It can be implied that you say it at the end, this that I've been saying, all these words in my mouth should be accepted by Hashem. It can also be understood as the words that I'm going to say. Yul HaRotzen Imirsi, the words that I'm yet going to say should be accepted by Hashem. My time of taknur rabbanu la'acha yud chet brachos. So why does the chachamim make the takana that you say yul haratzon only at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? Leimu me'ikra. Let them make it at the beginning. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua says if we had made it at the beginning, it would have an advantage because the pasuk ends Hashem tzuri v'goyali, and then we would go straight into Shemoneh Esrei. So it would literally be sunach go'ol l'shvila. So why instead does the chachamim stick it at the end? The answer is Amar of Yehuda Brei of Shimon ben Tazi. Because David said this pasuk only after 18 kapitla chatilim. Therefore, therefore, the chachamim made the takana to say this pasuk yulurafin after the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, because the order of the pasukim is important. So the question is, hani yudches yudches havian? What do you mean 18 kapitla chatilim? This is at the end of the 19th. The pasuk yulurafin is the last pasuk of kapitla yudches. The answer is Ashrei Ha'ish V'Lomer Rog Shul Goyim Chodah Parshas. The answer is the first two kapitlach of Tillim begin Ashrei Ha'ish and Lomer Rog Shul Goyim are really one long kapitl. They're not fundamentally two separate kapitlach, they're really fundamentally one kapitl. So therefore, that's subtract one. And we know this. The Omer of Yehuda Bereder of Shimon Tazi, Kuf Gimel Parshias Omer David, V'Lei Omer Halalukah, there are 103 kapitlach tilim that David said, and in none of them did he say Halalukah. The whole first 103 kapitlach of tilim, it never once says Halalukah.
There are 103 by David?
No.
The
first 103 kapitlach of tilim do not have the word Halalukah in them. Ad Sherav Mapalosan Shal Rishayim, until David sees it, with Nevuah, the downfall of the Rishayim, where it says that Yitamu Chatoyim in the earth, as it says, the Chatoyim will be ended off from the earth, Rishayim Eidenim, and there are no more Rishayim. Only then did he say, Baruch Hinafi Hashem Halalukah. Only then did he say Halalukah when he sees the downfall of the Rishayim. Now, that's the question. Hani Kuf Gimel Kuf Dalad Havyan. That's not at the end of Kapitel Kuf Gimel, it's at the end of Kapitel Kuf Dalad. Baruch Hinafi Hashem begins the Kapitel, we say it on Rosh Chodesh, and that's Kapitel Kuf Dalad. So obviously there must be two kapitlach somewhere earlier in Tillim that are really one kapitel, and those are the first two kapitlach are really one kapitel, and therefore that subtracts one from the total. So therefore, instead of 104, it becomes 103. Instead of 19, it becomes 18. So and how do we know that's one parsha? The Omer of Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Omer of Yechanan. Whole parsha shayta chaviva al David, any parsha, any kapitel tilim that was especially important, that was especially precious to David, pasach baba ashrei v'siyim baba ashrei. He began it with the word ashrei and ended it with a phrase that has the word ashrei in it. Tas pasach baba ashrei dichtiv ashrei harish v'siyim baba ashrei dichtiv ashrei kol choytei boy. The end of kapitel beis and ashrei kol choytei boy. So therefore, we see that those two kapitlach actually form one long kapitel, and David began it with Ashrei and ended it with Ashrei to show how important it is to him. Now, Tosfos asked the question, there's no other kapitel tilim that begins and ends with Ashrei. So what do you mean every parasha that was precious to him? So Tosfos says, it doesn't just mean Ashrei, it means any time when a kapitel ends with something similar to the beginning of it. For another example, Tosfos says, for example, the kapitel is Tehil of David, Ashrei. It begins Tehil of David, and it ends with Tehil of Hashem Yidabrati. You have other kapitlach that begin with Halalukah and end with Halalukah. So all of those were especially precious to David, and therefore he made them in that style. That's the Mefarshim say also for the same reason. The Chachamim modeled the brachas on that, and therefore they have the concept that a bracha has me'ein chasima samoch lachasima, that you have something similar to the ending of it. Before we say Baruch Atah Hashem, at the end of a bracha, the last phrase before it is something similar to that, in a similar vein, in other words, to the way a kapitel begins and ends with the same theme.
So it should be a continuation.
So we see another kapitel Aleph and Beis are basically one kapitel. So Marsha says, so in that case, why would it split? He says the same way as we find later on in the Masechta, that originally there were 18 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei, and then the Chachamim added a 19th bracha, the bracha Birkas Aminim. At that point, also, the Chachamim took two of the Kapitlach and took one of the Kapitlach and split them in order that also Yul HaRotzen will be at the end of 19 Kapitlach of Tehillim. So therefore, so they split apart those first two, and therefore they became two separate Kapitlach. But initially, they were one Kapitlach. Yeah.